In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. You know, we have that theology of the Trinity, not only because of the Apostle and Evangelist John, the theologian, but largely. He had a large hand in expounding and clarifying the doctrine of our one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now we celebrate the repose, the falling asleep of this great apostle. And the church calls him the holy, glorious, and all laudable apostle and evangelist, John the theologian. That's a mouthful. Now, many saints are known simply by a title, maybe two, right? Maybe they're an apostle and a martyr, or a hierarch, a prophet, an ascetic, an unmercenary healer. But this Saint John ended up with several of these titles ascribed to him by the church. Now he and his brother James, the sons of Zebedee and Salome, who herself was a daughter of Saint Joseph the Betrothed, and she was also one of the myrrh bearers. And though John was arrested and tortured in Rome, he was the only one of the 12 who was not martyred, though not for lack of trying. In fact, he was over 100 years old when he fell asleep in the Lord, the only apostle to live to a ripe old age. Now, being not only the longest living apostle, he was also the youngest of the 12. And so let's look at him as under this title of apostle. Okay. So he was the youngest of the 12 disciples who spent their time with Christ. And after his resurrection as one of the 12, he was sent out to preach the good news of Christ's resurrection. He stuck around for Jerusalem for a little while. And after the Dormition of the Theotokos, he went and lived and labored primarily in the region of Ephesus. And it was due to his incredibly effective ministry there, converting many Christians, that the remaining pagan people there became very angry and turned him over to the Roman authorities, hoping that they would take care of this problem for them. So he's an apostle. He's one who is sent. This is what the word apostle means. One who is sent. So he was sent not only to the Theotokos to care for her, but after her death, he was sent to preach the gospel in Ephesus. St. John is also called the evangelist. He has three canonical epistles ascribed to him. And during his time of exile on the island of Patmos, he received and preserved in writing the book of Revelation along with his gospel. And throughout his writings, especially in his epistles, you come across, as we did today, themes of love of God and love of your neighbor. That you cannot have one without the other. For in fact, it's impossible to love anyone without first having some connection with God. For he says at the end of the epistle we read today, we are able to love because God first loved us. This is what enables us to follow his commandment that he gave to the disciples at the Last Supper, to love one another. And we're able to do it because he first loved us. And he also, in his epistles, asks, how can you claim to love God when you don't even love your brother? How can you claim to love God who you do not see? When you fail so miserably, these are my words, my additions, but when we fail so miserably to love our brother whom we see. The two go together. Love of God and love of neighbor. They're both necessary. He also has this beautiful, beautiful imagery of light and darkness. All throughout his gospel, all throughout his epistles, light and darkness. It's a very vivid help for our spiritual lives. And we also have his icon up here as he's writing his gospel along with the other three gospel writers, the other three evangelists. As he begins his gospel, I'm sorry, I pointed the wrong one. He's over here. There he is. I was going to say, he's not old enough or young enough in that one. It's not the right depiction. Here he is. And I saw beginning, and that got me off. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so, right above him is the image of the eagle. You can see his icon here, and then above, each of the four evangelists is described with one of the creatures from the book of Ezekiel describing God's throne. And for his lofty theology, which in our hymns we talk about him rising up to heaven and plunging down to the depths of the sea. We have this image of the eagle, which does both. And it's because of his profound writing in his gospel, in his epistles, and in his revelation that he earned this next title, that of theologian. Now, this is somewhat surprising, or at least maybe contradictory in my mind, because John was a simple fisherman. He didn't have the educational background that you might expect with someone who speaks so clearly and eloquently. And yet, here he is, the first of the theologians. He in his epistles, especially, he used such clear and simple language that they're very easy to understand, and even easier to translate and to do it accurately. Now, as I mentioned, St. John is one of very few people that have this title of theologian. We have many martyrs, we have many hierarchs, we have only three theologians. And so it's St. John, together with St. Gregory the theologian and St. Simeon the new theologian. The church is very guarded with this title of theologian, reserving it for those who can clearly and accurately describe God's revelation of himself to humanity. What we believe, our theology, matters. It matters. And some people say the Orthodox Church never changes. And anyone who's spent any amount of time in the Orthodox Church knows that that's not true. We're changing all the time, learning new music. Our hierarchs give us new liturgical rubrics. We celebrate feasts in new and different ways. But the one thing that does not change is our faith, our theology. And this is because if we stray from what God has revealed of himself to us, and what the apostles and the fathers of the church have handed down, It is no longer God whom we believe in, but we create a new and different God. Not the one who was in the beginning, the creator and the redeemer of all things, but some inferior God of our own imagination. This is what happens if we start to innovate in theology. Saint Irenaeus puts it incredibly well. He talks about this image of a beautiful mosaic of a king. And not just a king, but the king. This glorious image that then is taken apart, the different tiles, and rearranged by some unknowledgeable people. And when they're finished, they say, aha, we have reassembled and revealed once again the image of the king, only it is no longer the image of king, but that of a dog. Still using the same tiles, but in a different configuration. Interpreting the image differently and coming to a very different conclusion. We hear at the hymn at Vespers, the Doxasticon last night, that John was the foremost herald of the doctrines of the true wisdom of God, and he declared, in the beginning was the Word, and moreover he expounded that the Word is indivisibly with the Father, and then that he is equal in essence with the Father, thereby showing us the right belief in the Holy Trinity. And he demonstrated unto us that the Word is the Creator together with the Father, and the bringer of life, and that true light. It's much, much more beautiful when our chanters sing it. Come to Vespers and enjoy it. But we have these hymns in the church to help reinforce our understanding of the importance not only of St. John, but of his clear description of our theology of the Trinity. And as an added reminder that it's always better to read a true theologian, and to do this you only need to go and open your Bible, than it is to go online and find someone who claims to be a theologian. No one can hold a candle to St. John. Now the last title is not one that our church gives to him in his official title, but it's one that he gave to himself. He's called in his gospel the beloved disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. Rather than referring to himself by name, you'll encounter him in his account of the gospel as the one whom the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was very, very close with Christ, who, if you followed the family tree that I briefly went over earlier, Christ, it appears, was John's uncle of sorts. He was very, very close with Christ. In fact, on the icon of the Mystical Supper, he is the one who's shown leaning into Christ. And this very intimate pose, this closeness that he among all the others had. He was also one of the three closest, including Peter and James, who was brought up to Mount Tabor to witness the transfiguration of Christ. He had this incredibly special relationship with his Lord. And it was John and Christ's mother who we find standing at the foot of Christ's cross, sticking around, not without fear, but despite his fear. For he, again, we read today, perfect love casts out fear. He stood there at the foot of the cross, and when Jesus saw his mother and him, our Lord said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son," meaning his disciple John. And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that the disciple took her, the Theotokos, to his own home and cared for him as his own mother. It's a beautiful image. But even as Christ is hanging on the cross, he cares for and takes care of his mother. Make sure that someone else will be there for her. And it is this intimacy with Christ that John had that should be the desire of every Christian, of each and every one of us. For he writes in his gospel, "And this is eternal life, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." We need to know him. We need to be intimate with him. How is it that I want to be known by God? Do I want to hear, "Well done and good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord"? Well, of course I do. How come then, so often, to the Lord who has given me everything, I end up being the one who's only around when it's convenient for me? And it is convenient for me. This is my job. But still not enough. Apostle, evangelist, theologian, beloved disciple, it's not that St. John sought to earn these titles like merit badges, but he simply was all of these things because he sought to draw near to Christ, to know him as intimately as possible. Let this also be our aim, to strive to know God more and more with every passing day. Through the prayers of the apostle and evangelist John, the theologian, or Christ our God, have mercy on us and save us.